Like us to pray before we turn to the scriptures and see what the Lord has for us this morning. Oh, Father, we come before you. Yes, with tears in our eyes and pain in our hearts. But also with joy, because we know that KK is in a place of quiet rest where the sickle cell anemia cannot reach him. He is in a better place than all of us, even all of us who mourn for him. Indeed, we mourn because we can no longer hear him or speak to him here below. But we rejoice in the hope that he is with you. Dear Lord, we now come before you, committing this our time in your word to you. Lord, that you will speak to us and grant us understanding, that in the end we will be strengthened and encouraged even in this our season of grief. We pray this in the name of our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I invite us to turn in our Bibles to the book of Isaiah and chapter 46. Isaiah 46, and we will be reading the first 12 verses. Isaiah 46, and we will be reading the first 12 verses. The book of Isaiah is one of those books that has a lot of encouraging words, and also sometimes you find the Lord is disappointed with the unfaithfulness of his people. But what we see in the passage we're about to read is the Lord expressing who he is to his people. And while I was meditating on this passage, I came to the conclusion that one of the things that the Lord would like us to walk away from this passage with are the reasons why we should trust him in our troubles. Why we should trust him in our troubles. Isaiah 46, I'll commence reading from the English Standard Version from verse 1. Baal bows down, Nebo stoops, their idols are on beasts and livestock. These things you carry are borne as burdens on weary beasts. They stoop, they bow down together. They cannot save the burden, but themselves go into captivity. Listen to me, O house of Jacob, O the remnant of the house of Israel, who have been born by me from before your birth, carried from the womb. Even to your old age I am he, and to gray hairs I will carry you. I have made and I will bear, I will carry and will save. To whom will you liken me and make me equal, and compare me that we may be alike. Those who lavish gold from the purse and weigh out silver in the scales, hire a goldsmith and he makes it into a god, then they fall down and worship it. They lift it to their shoulders, they carry it, they set it in its place, and it stands there. It cannot move from its place. It cannot move from its place or save him from his trouble. If one cries to it, it does not answer or save him from his trouble. Remember this and stand firm. Recall it to mind, you transgressors. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will accomplish all my purpose. Calling a bird of prey from the east, the man of my counsel from a far country. I have spoken, and I will bring it to pass. I have purposed, and I will do it. Listen to me, you stubborn of heart, you who are far from righteousness. I'll read verse 13 as well. I bring near my righteousness. It is not far off. The Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Now, one of the distinguishing attributes of our Lord from all other gods is that he is a living God. And in the Bible, one of the major ways that the Lord likes to distinguish himself from other gods, in particular when he wants to reassure his people or warn them against idolatry, is by reminding them of his attributes or the characteristics that belong to him as God. One of the things that will comfort the Christian in the midst of trouble is meditating on the attributes of God. Meditating on the attributes of God is not a task only for the theologically inclined, or for theologians or pastors. It is for every Christian. Because one of the things that will bring us comfort in our trouble is thinking about who God is. In this passage, we see God distinguishing himself from the idols as he speaks through the prophet Isaiah, as he uses contrasting language. He uses contrasting language to show who he is in comparison to the idols of Babylon. In this passage, the Lord is trying to communicate his power to save to those who would have remained faithful to him while in captivity in Babylon. He is seeking to say to them, there is no God but me, and I have power, even power to save. Now, Babylon has been described as a place of oppression and misery for God's people. It's a place of much suffering. But you see, God is at work even in the midst of these difficulties. God is at work even in the midst of these difficulties. So what I'd like us to look at this morning are five things that make our God different and why we should trust him in trouble because of the things that make him different. And the first attribute that I'd like us to look at is this, that our God is the living God. Our God is the living God. One of the distinguishing features of the true God from the idols of Babylon, as brought out in this passage, is that our God is the living God. He is a God able to act in order to save his people from their trouble. He is a God able to act to save his people from their trouble. Observe this as it comes out in the contrast between the idols of Babylon, Baal and Nebo, when compared to the Lord. Verse 1. Baal bows down, Nebo stoops. Their idols are on beasts and livestock. These things you carry are borne as burdens on weary beasts. They stoop, they bow down together, they cannot serve the burden, but themselves go into captivity. Verse 3. Listen to me, O house of Jacob, O the remnant of the house of Israel, who have been born by me from before your birth, carried from the womb. Even to your age, to your old age I am he, and to gray hairs I will carry you. I have made and I will bear. I will carry and I will save. The idols need to be carried. The idols, not only do they need to be carried, but instead of saving their people, they themselves go into captivity. They can do nothing about what is happening to them. Compare that with the God of Israel, as we have seen in the third and fourth verse. He is the one who carries his people throughout their lives. But beyond that, he rescues his people from danger. Listen again to the words of verse 4. The Lord speaking, and he says, even to your old age I am he, and to gray hairs I will carry you. I have made and I will bear, I will carry and I will save. How is he able to carry? How is he able to save? Because he is the living God. He is the source of life itself. So even in this season, as we think about the loss of KK and how our hearts are troubled by this loss, and how, for those of us who knew him, and particularly his immediate family feel this very strongly. We think about the fact that our God is the living God. And because he is the living God, he is able to carry us even in this season. He is able to carry us even in this season. This idea that the Lord is the living God, when contrasted with the idols of Babylon, is repeated in verse 7. Verse 7 of Isaiah 46. Verse 7 of Isaiah 46. They lifted to their shoulders. They carry it. They set it in its place. And it stands there, but cannot move from its place. If one cries to it, it does not answer or save him from his trouble. God is saying, by contrast, because I am the living God, I am able to answer. If you call to me, I will answer. And if you cry to me, I can save you from your trouble. He is a living God who can actively work and does actively work in our difficult situations. He's a living God. And because he's a living God, he can hear. But he can't just hear, he can respond. He can respond to our cries. Our son still needs treatment, monitoring. We're praying to the Lord that he is well permanently. But what continues to reassure us, whatever happens, is that we have a living God who does not only hear, but he also answers. Even in our troubled hearts, when we feel pain because we have lost a loved one, we have a living God who does not only hear, but is also able to answer. But more than that, he is a God who feels with us. Because he is living, he feels with us. The reason he's able to respond and save us out of our trouble, the reason he's able to comfort our troubled hearts, is because he feels with us. He identifies with our pain. Why should we trust God when in trouble? Because he is the living God. Because he is the living God. If he is the living God, then he can save you from your trouble. Then he can save me from my trouble. The second attribute that is brought out here, and the second reason we should trust God in our trouble, is because our God is the sovereign Lord. Our God is the sovereign Lord. Our God is the sovereign Lord. Sovereignty, for many of us who are of the Reformed persuasion, we are familiar with this idea, but it simply means that God depends on no one and nothing and in any way. God depends on no one, nothing in any way. And this is what theologians refer to as sovereignty. Whereas the idols of Babylon need human hands first of all to fashion them, then to carry them, they need to be consigned to beasts and livestock. Our God needs no such help, because he is the one who makes things happen. He is the one who makes things happen. Let's look at this in verses 9 and 11 of our text. For I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will accomplish all my purpose. Calling a bird of prey from the east, the man of my counsel from a far country. This is a God who is not subject to any external forces. Instead, all things are subject to him. And therefore he can use means we cannot even think about to come to our help. He can use ways and people we never even thought about. Who came to the help of Israel when in captivity in Babylon? It was Cyrus, the king of Persia. A man who was godless, yet God used him to answer his people's cry. And this is real power. The power that God has. And that power is available for all God's children in their times of need. That power is available for all God's children when they are in trouble. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. And so he can use anything he chooses to bring help to his people. Because he rules over everything and he's dependent on nothing, God can bring help to his people in any way. And since he's dependent on nothing, there is no question of something going wrong in the process of him coming to the rescue of his people. Does this mean his people will not have problems? Absolutely not. That's a fake gospel. We are God's children here and we are mourning our beloved. But you see, God is still able, even in the midst of overwhelming grief, to bring us comfort. What it means, other than saying that we'll not have problems, what it does mean is that when God's people experience trouble, he is more than able to come through for them. He is more than able to come through for them. Why? Because he himself, he is sovereign, depending on no one and nothing in any way. Why should we trust God in our trouble? Because God is sovereign. I will accomplish all my purpose, the Bible says. That means nothing will stop him. Nothing will stand in his way of accomplishing that which he has purposed. That includes coming to the aid of his people in their season of need. Thirdly, why should we trust God in our trouble? Why should we trust God in our trouble? Because God has rescued his people in the past. God has done it before. Many of us, particularly those in managerial positions, when you are looking for someone to fill a particular position, you usually ask for some sort of experience. You want to know whether this person that you are about to give the job is able to do it, and you judge that by what they have done in the past. Well, the Lord has rescued his people in the past before. And like Pastor said to us, my wife and I, when our son was ill, when we look back at God's help in the past, we find courage for the present moment. And so from this passage, we see something of this. We see something of God's help in the past. And all of us who are Christians can actually testify to moments when we know, had it not been for the Lord, we would not be where we are. And if you don't have such a testimony, maybe you may not be a Christian. Because one of the stories that should bring you to that conclusion is the fact of how you got saved. But for the Lord. It could not have happened but for God. The difficulties we have faced in the past that were insurmountable, and we came out, that is the Lord. And this is why we have testimonies being shared in church. Because those who are in trouble need to hear what the Lord has done in the lives of others, and from there draw encouragement for themselves. In verse 8 of our passage, and along with verse 9, the Lord says this. Verse 8, remember this and stand firm. Recall it to mind, you transgressors. Remember the former things, of old. For I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. Now, I suppose one of the things that the children of Israel were supposed to be remembering in Babylonian captivity should have been the deliverance from the powerful Pharaoh, a king who was much more powerful than they were, but God delivered them. And at this point, it was time to trust that God would end their captivity in Babylon. In other words, God is saying, use this logic. If I set you free from Egypt, and many other times in between, I can do it now. I can do it now. When we are in trouble, it is time for you and me, when in our own personal difficulties, even as we think about the pain we feel in our hearts, we need to call to mind God's past deliverances, how He brought us healing for our souls in the past, how He brought us comfort for grief in the past. And on that basis, we ought to trust Him. We ought to trust Him. We ought to trust Him. As we seek Him and think about how far He has brought us, we ought to trust Him for the present difficulty. God's past deliverances should give us confidence for our current difficulty. But fourthly, why should we trust God in the midst of difficulty? It's because God sustains and rescues His people in the present. God sustains His people in the present. God is a God who sustains His people. In other words, He is the one who cares for them. He continuously cares for them. One of the lines in the chorus of the song that we just sang says, "Every moment, every minute, where I have been and where I am going, even when I didn't know it or couldn't see it, there was Jesus." The prophet Isaiah is seeking to bring something of a similar nature. There is no moment at which God abandons His people. And this is beautifully brought out in the fourth verse of our passage. Verse 4. "But B, I have made and I will bear, I will carry and I will save. I have made and I will bear, I will carry." That is sustenance. God will carry. Not in our strength, but in His strength. And so as our hearts are heavy and we cannot move, we lean on Him who can sustain even in the midst of difficulty. "I have made and I will bear, I will carry." He will carry us even in the midst of difficulty. The Apostle Paul in the book of Philippians, I believe it's chapter 1 and verse 6, says, "He who began a good work in you will surely bring it to completion." In our trial, we can trust God, because even in the midst of them, it is God who is carrying us through. "I have made, I will carry, I will save." God doesn't stop at saving us. God doesn't stop at making us His own. But He goes on to keep us His own and to rescue us from the many dangers, the many toils, the many snares involved in the process of walking with Him. Listen again to the words of verse 3 of Isaiah chapter 46. Listen to me, the Lord says, O house of Jacob, O the remnant of the house of Israel, who have been born by me from before your birth, carried from the womb. God begins with us, walks with us, and finally delivers us to himself. In other words, God can be relied upon from the cradle to the grave. God can be relied upon from the cradle to the grave. He is an ever-present help in times of trouble, the psalmist says, as we'll be looking at this evening. He is there, and so we can trust him. Why should we trust him in trouble? Because he sustains us. Even in those moments when we cannot sense him or see his hand, he sustains us. Finally, number five, why should we trust God in trouble? Because God hears and responds. God hears and responds. We can trust God because when his people call, unlike the idols that we have noted, God responds. Observe the language in verse 7. They lifted, that is, those who worship idols, they lift it to their shoulders, they carry it, they set it in its place, and it stands there. It cannot move from its place. If one cries to it, it does not answer or save him from his trouble. Contrast this with the words we had just read in verses 3 and 4. He says, I will save. He says, I will carry. He says, I will bear even until old age. And this fact is what distinguishes our God from all other gods. Because being the living God, he is able to hear his people, and he is not just a God who hears, he is a God who saves them out of their trouble. He's a God who recognizes that sometimes we will cry because of our trouble. And when we cry, he says he will save us out of trouble. Only God can save us from trouble in ways that any other cannot. Only God can comfort us from grief. Only God can wipe our tears away in a very real sense. He's the only one who can do that. Because he hears, and he doesn't only hear, he responds. I'd like to bring us to a close with some applications for us. And the first one is this, that all of us who are God's children honor him when we call on him in our day of trouble. All of us who are God's children honor him when we call on him in our day of trouble. If instead of looking to other forms of help, we run to God in our day of trouble, we are honoring the Lord. And I suppose the reason why the Lord uses very hard language with the remnant of Jacob is because perhaps their trust in him was beginning to waver. And sometimes this will happen, but we should remember that it is honoring to God when his children call to him in their time of trouble. This is very different from positive confession, where you are encouraged to decree and declare all the good things in life in spite of what is really going on. We honor God instead when we call him in times of trouble. Yes, God uses means to help us, but we dare not put our trust in the instruments in God's hand. Rather, we acknowledge God as the author of the help. And when we do this, we glorify God. It would be folly of Israel, for example, to begin to praise Cyrus for delivering them from Babylon. Cyrus was an instrument. We are grateful to all who have helped us, all who have prayed with and for us. And we are grateful ultimately to God for putting them in our lives, because behind it all is the hand of God. Secondly, if you're not a Christian, you're in real trouble. You are in the deepest of all trouble. Firstly, because you are a slave to sin. And secondly, because the wrath of God, this God whom we have described as being sovereign and the Lord of all the earth, and that nothing can stand in his way when it comes to helping his people, the wrath of God, the anger of this God is on you, so that nothing can stand in his way to execute judgment on you. But you see, this same God has provided a solution. He has provided his only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that if you call on him, you will be saved. The Apostle Paul in the book of Romans chapter 10 and verse 13 says, "For whoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." So Jesus died so that you don't have to suffer hell. So Jesus is able to save, even from this kind of trouble. The God who is living, the God who is sovereign, the God who is sustaining you now as you hear me, is able to save you. All you need is to call on him and receive him by faith. And the Lord bless us all. Amen. We'll pray and we'll be singing our hymn of response. Our Father who is in heaven, we recognize that you are God who is the living God, God who is sovereign, God who carries us through the journey of life, the God who will watch over his own people. As we think about these truths, we pray that they will be a comfort for us, knowing that you who has taken away, you who is able to smite, is also able to heal, and that nothing can stop you from giving healing. And sometimes we'll not see your hand, but when it's all said and done, we'll be able to look back and say, in the fire and in the flood, you were there with us. So we continue to trust you, and you will, we pray that you will continue to go in and to go out before us. In Jesus' name we pray.